Hey, you don't know, this is Sophia Brown, and I'm in tune to Judith Piazza and American Prospective. You don't know, so they are the biggest, baddest radio show in the whole wide world. Judith Piazza, big up yourself. Sophia Brown saying to you, play reggae music nonstop. Play reggae music nonstop. Give it to the whole wide world. Judith Piazza, big up yourself. You don't know, say, you are the boss.
Hey. It's a capital I to the EYE. Pull it up now. Turn it up now. Hey, what's up? This is IEYE and you're listening to Judith Piazza and the American Perspective. WTTB Newstalk. Large upon yourself. Wow.
Greetings from Tromaville. My name is Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. And, you know, when we're not making those great movies like Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD or The Toxic Avenger or Poultrygeist, we like to kick back and watch American Perspective, because American Perspective is the best radio that you can watch. It's unbelievable. In fact, I was just reading the Orlando Sentinel, and it's all about American Perspective. So continue the good work at American Perspective on radio.
You're listening to the SOP.org.
Hi, Dr. Young. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. Be glad to share my information with listeners and advice.
Well, you've been doing some interesting things. Tell us a little bit about Dr. Young.
I'm a professor at York University, Glendon College in Toronto, Canada, and I have a practice as well, dealing with things like pain patients, stress, couples, and families. So I see a whole spectrum of issues in my office, and a topic approach called cognitive behavior therapy and related therapies for helping people. But I like to give a lot of just common sense, plain advice that are based on those approaches. And also, I've written self-help books called Rejoining Joy, and you can check them out on my website called rejoiningjoy.com.
It's funny that you mentioned common sense, because I opened a fortune cookie recently and it said, common sense is not that common.
That's right. Sometimes it's hard to see the forest. We just see a lot of trees. And sometimes it's better to see the big picture. So what happens to us when we're dealing with stress, whether it's at work or in relationships or with family, or just in terms of developing our own goals, studying, is that we don't see the big picture, and we get caught up in perhaps the wrong or sidetrack paths. And once we have a clear picture of some of our goals and how to get to them, that helps. And also having techniques that help us immediately on the spot for stress, such as breathing exercises, which psychologists like to teach. Some people call it mindful meditation. Then those techniques can help calm down our body and calm down our arousal so that we can think more clearly and solve the problem at hand, whether it's school, family, friends, work, study, or whatever.
Why do you think people let stress get out of hand?
Perhaps they don't know the right techniques to use to calm down, and they might blurt out the wrong thing, or they might say to themselves how overwhelming it is and feel depressed. Perhaps they don't have the long-term goals in perspective, and they get stuck on certain issues instead of seeing the big picture and how to navigate around the problem and work with it rather than against it. And so, again, I get back to knowing what to do in the moment to control stress and having long-term goals to that are healthy and helpful to the self and to others in dealing with stress.
When did you first know that helping people was your passion?
Well, I don't know. I guess as a little kid, I've always liked to help people and animals. So it's just ingrained in people. And it's not just me. I think it's ingrained in all of us. You know, we're a human species that has within us a lot of helping motivation. And maybe it gets trained out through some of our experiences. Maybe it gets suppressed by our obligations. But all of us have, in fact, the more we have a helping attitude towards other people, the more we stop fixating just on ourselves and the me kind of approach, the better the me ends up, so to speak. That is, the more we focus and have balance on self and other, the better we our self becomes, and the better we can help other people with their problems.
Who are some of your mentors that have helped you along the way?
I think right from the time I can remember, when I was a child, Teachers were very instrumental. Of course, my parents all along. Life is marked by people trying to help us in our education system, right through if we get into graduate school, but or even right from the beginning, learning to read and write and having our parents help us with our homework and the like. And it motivates us. And then we see good kind acts behind us and beside us, other people around us. It's too easy to focus on the bad news and how people are mean. We should also see good role models around us and good behaviors on the part of parents, teachers, and friends. Some of them can be quite inspirational in their helpful attitudes, and this helps us develop positively.
You've been very successful at what you do. What key quality would you say that all successful people share?
I think it starts with controlling stress, the kind of things we're talking about, knowing how to deal with it immediately, seeing the big picture, how does the problem fit in, being sensitive to the other people and seeing where they come from, not just about me, and seeing the balance along all these dimensions so that any new task can be dealt with a calm, and any grand vision that we have can be tackled with motivation, a good attitude, and hard work. And that applies for me, and I think it applies for anybody. They're just common sense messages.
Tell us about some of the projects you're working on now.
I'm working on a new book called Psychological Injury and Law, and there's also ethics in there. And psychological injury concerns post-traumatic stress, chronic pain, and brain injury that might result after a car accident or other events of a negligent nature. And how do we deal with that in practice, in therapy, and in court as well? And on the one hand, and then the other hand, there's all sorts of other projects that I'm going to get into, such as and the causation of behavior. And I started that book, just finishing up the psychological injury one. And for the free will book, I find that fascinating. I think I'm becoming a slave to the book. Hold of me, right? But it is a fascinating area, and I'd like to share with the listeners here that we all have a sense of free will, and most of us believe that we have a sense of free will, and there's really a lot of advantages in believing that, you know, we have control and we have choice. And what happens in psychotherapy, of course, when the patients come in, they think that they don't have control and choice, and they're overwhelmed and they can't choose. But again, by things like breathing exercises, having a larger picture, any new problem that comes up, we can deal with it better than we can think. And let me share with you the breathing exercises I like to teach. So just focus on the air from the nostril down to the bottom of the lungs. I teach it the simplest way. And as we focus on that, it is harder to think of our stress. And as we focus on that, for example, our mouth is closed as we're breathing in through the nose, and it's harder to blurt out something in anger. So maybe if we use a technique like that, we can become more calm and we get into some sort of meditative experience in the sense that we're just calming down our physiology and our mind so we can think more clearly. And the end of a few minutes of that, we might say, well, that was helpful. That calmed me down. I also did some visualizations of the beach or of nature or something like that at the same time. And I really removed myself from my stress. And you know what? I'm more calm, more relaxed, and I see the wider picture now. And I'm going to deal with that problem. I'm going to go steady. I'm going to speak to my partner in a better way, whatever it is. And in having an attitude like that, I think we can move forward.
Let's talk a little bit about relationships and the keys to success within relationships.
Relationships is really a great act of sharing and giving. And again, it's not just about me, but it should be about us. And when we're in a good relationship, we grow together. And we go beyond ourselves. It gives us self-confidence, and we help the other gain self-confidence. It gives us growth and sharing and the like. Always builds the self as much as the other. So on the one hand, we care for the other, and that helps care for ourselves. On the other hand, we encourage the same attitude in the other person. So there's a lot of talking, and I used the word maybe before on purpose, because a lot of what we do in our relationships is perhaps give order, whether it be to a partner or to our children or to whomever, instead of I'm suggesting to them that, you know, maybe we can go out to a movie tonight. Or maybe, kids, you can go do your homework, and afterwards we can have some, you know, downtime and fun time. And so when we use the word maybe, it opens up the other to think about the option and to choose the right choice so that they can do it and don't feel that it's an imposition. And and then maybe our partners in our relationships will behave more sharing wise when we use the right language with them. There's also nonverbal language, a hug, a look, a kind arm around the shoulder. But the verbal part, in terms of using language like maybe and other ways of not imposing our will, always helps. Sharing and negotiating always helps.
I know it takes a lot of time and dedication to put a book together. Tell me about the process that you go through each time.
A self-help book is a collection of experiences with clients around some central themes. And that might take years to write because there are so many issues in dealing with people, and you want to cover all the basics in relationships and handling stress, emotions, daily living. And that book series in Rejoining Joy took years and years, and it all came together 2 years ago, last year as well. Now, for a research book, that would take me about a year, and it's just a lot of hard work. The psychological injury one took about 12 months, and it's 1,800 Word document pages. It'll be about 800 pages in length. There's another book on child development that's also 850 pages. It's just the task, say, 5 hours a day, aside from whatever therapy and teaching I'm doing on the average, and it gets done. So there's no mystery to succeeding in book writing. It all boils down to hard work and organization, reading other people's work and integrating it into your own ideas.
What is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to you?
Well, I'd say getting married and having children, and then the grandchildren. So it's at the personal level rather than the professional level. And but at the professional level, I would say just helping some people in their greatest crises. Like this morning, I went to the house of a patient who lost her husband to cancer. So the little I can help in that situation, such a serious situation, was really, I think, gratifying to me. So in the worst tragedies, I've also dealt with orphans after car accidents, and parents who've lost their children in car accidents, and the professional level, those are the most saddest but most gratifying cases to work with.
What is something that someone has said to you that you always remember to pass on to your patients?
Well, in the latter situation, when someone loses someone, I always tell my classes and my students to never say, "I understand," because we haven't experienced it, or we wouldn't want to share at that moment that we've experienced it. We want to say, "I'm here to help as best I can," or something like that. So we have to be careful with our words in those very most delicate situations.
Can you tell our listeners how they can find out more about you and your books?
Well, if people want to find out more about my books, they can go to rejoiningjoy.com. I also write a blog for Psychology Today. So if they Google Psychology Today, Gerald Young, my blogs will come up, and you'll learn more, a little bit more about professionally and personally. And I hope the self-help books really can help people move on. There's great titles in the most recent one on the blogs from Psychology Today, such as a New Year's resolution as opposed to a New Year's resolution. And there's one on St. Valentine's Day, one on mutuality and sex. So I'm getting at relationships, which your listeners, again, the relationships boil down to human contact and sensitivity and giving of the self, and that'll facilitate receiving as well.
Dr. Young, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show today, and I hope that you'll come back again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You're listening to the SOP.org. Yeah.